If you're caffeinated, if you're hanging around in your kitchen right now, if you're wide awake, this is something to just help you get even to that higher level of awareness.
At the end of the end, it's the start of the journey.
All right, so Paul McCartney isn't exactly Metallica, okay? But he is for sale at your local Starbucks, at least until soon. The company has decided, it appears, to pull back on selling music and will focus on coffee, caffeine, straight. By September, it's believed most of the CD racks in stores will be gone. This has been picked up by bloggers on the internet, even though the company is a little bit cagey about any sort of policy decision that they've made. Bill Wyman joins us. He's a former arts editor for NPR and Salon. He now writes the blog Hitsville.org. Bill Wyman, what do you think's going on at Starbucks?
Hey, good morning. I think, number one, as the company is facing its stock market problems and problems of declining just clientele, I think they're saying that the music division, even though I think it was profitable for the company, is more of a distraction than it is an asset at this point.
Does that mean that this notion of Starbucks as a kind of living room of America where you can drink expensive coffee and get online and listen to music like Paul McCartney is going away?
That's interesting. I think that Howard Schultz, who's the big CEO of the company during its growth period in the 90s and who came back earlier this year, I think he's the person who promoted the idea of Starbucks as the so-called third space, the place you go to between your office and your home where you live in that sort of an existence. I think that has to still be part of the company's plans. But music fans, it's slightly different. Some people really like music, other people don't. Some people want to go to Starbucks, and they love the idea of some tasty tunes being channeled into them. Others perhaps just want to sit and concentrate, so maybe music isn't necessarily a part of that.
There's a lot of merchandising that goes on in Starbucks. I mean, what do you make of the Aquila and the Bee project? I mean, that movie was all over Starbucks. Did it have any impact on Aquila and the Bee's box office?
In a relative sense, definitely, because Starbucks is a great marketing partner to have. That brings up one of the really great issues about Starbucks and the work of Starbucks in the cultural sphere, which is that these are enormous marketing deals, and when the media focuses so much attention on it, when you think of the number of broadcast hours and print pages that were devoted to Starbucks getting into movies, it's extraordinary. And if you go back and look at what actually happened, is the producers of Aquila and the Bee, which is Lionsgate, they paid Starbucks, essentially, to help promote their movie.
They got the promotion, but it sounds like Starbucks, aside from the fees they got from Lionsgate, didn't get much out of the deal.
Right, absolutely. And it's one of these movies that has a bad title and isn't really a crowd-pleasing movie, and Starbucks can probably justifiably say that we like the movie, we're proud to have associated with it, but it's really not that much different from a Happy Meal, Chronicles of Narnia figurines and a Happy Meal at McDonald's.
Right. So, Bill, what's the silliest thing you've ever done in a Starbucks besides drink overpriced coffee?
The silliest thing?
Silliest thing. I'm sure you've blogged from a Starbucks, right?
Oh yeah, well I've sat there. I mean, I've worked. To tell you the truth, I don't really do that much in Starbucks because they charge money. It's not like it has open Wi-Fi and things like that. But definitely spending that much money on a cup of coffee, and also even spending the amount of time I've had to think just as a journalist about the Paul McCartney deal and things like that. Up until very recently, Howard Schultz and his big music guy Ken Lombard were saying that they were going full speed ahead on the music front.
Well, Bill Wyman, thanks for joining us. We're going to take a little stroll down memory lanes. The first artist that was promoted, and he was actually an investor in Starbucks, Kenny G. Bill Wyman, former arts editor for NPR and Salon, he now writes the blog Hitsville.org. If Starbucks, he's one of the first 10 investors. Kenny G was smart guy. With his soprano sax. And that's the takeaway this morning.
It is, and keep your responses coming to anything you've heard on this show. You can send your story to 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're talking about boating, John McCain, Tibet, and Starbucks.
What should John McCain lead with? What are the uphill battles you go through when you vote? And we're on YouTube, iTunes, and Facebook, and you can hear us in Starbucks if you get online. Join the discussion any way you want.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.